Hello and welcome to episode 111 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible. My name is Steve Webb and I'm your host. Today we'll read Numbers 23, Luke 18, and Psalm 33 from the God's Word Translation. Numbers chapter 23. Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me." Balak did what Balaam told him, and the two of them offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Balaam said to Balak, "Stay here beside your burnt offering while I'm gone. Maybe the Lord will come and meet with me. I will tell you whatever he reveals to me." Then Balaam went off to a higher place where there were no trees. God came to him, and Balaam said, "I have set up 7 altars, and I offered a bull and a ram on each altar." The Lord told Balaam, "Go back to Balak and give him my message." So he went back to Balak and found him standing beside his burnt offering with all the princes of Moab. Then Balaam delivered this message: "Balak brought me from Aram. The king of Moab summoned me from the eastern mountains. Come, curse Jacob for me," he said. "Come, condemn Israel. How can I curse those whom God hasn't cursed? How can I condemn those whom the Lord hasn't condemned? I see them from the top of rocky cliffs. I look at them from the hills. I see a nation that lives by itself, people who do not consider themselves to be like other nations. The descendants of Jacob are like specks of dust. Who can count them or number even 1/4 of the people of Israel? Let me die the death of innocent people. Let my end be like theirs." Balak said to Balaam, "What have you done to me? I brought you here to curse my enemies, but all you've done is bless them." Balaam answered, "I must say what the Lord tells me to say." Then Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place where you can see the Israelites. You will see only some of them, not all of them. Curse them for me from there." So he took him to the field of Zophim on the top of Mount Pisgah, where he built 7 altars. He offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Then Balaam said to Balak, "Stay here beside your burnt offering while I meet with God over there." The Lord came to Balaam and told him, "Go back to Balak and give him my message." He came to Balak and found him standing beside his burnt offering with the princes of Moab. Balak asked him, "What did the Lord say?" Then Balaam delivered this message: "Stand up, Balak, and listen. Hear me, son of Zippor. God is not like people. He tells no lies. He is not like humans. He doesn't change his mind. When he says something, he does it. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I can't change it. He doesn't want any trouble for the descendants of Jacob. He sees no misfortune for the people of Israel. The Lord their God is with them, praised is their king. The God who brought them out of Egypt has the strength of a wild bull. No spell can curse the descendants of Jacob. No magic can harm the people of Israel. Now it will be said of Jacob and Israel, 'See what God has done.' Here is a nation that attacks like a lioness and is as ferocious as a lion. It doesn't lie down until it eats its prey and drinks the blood of its victim." Balak said to Balaam, "If you won't curse them, then at least don't bless them." Balaam answered, "Didn't I tell you that I must do whatever the Lord says?" Balak said to Balaam, "Come, let me take you to another place. Maybe God wants you to curse them for me from there." So Balak took Balaam to the top of Mount Peor, which overlooks Jeshimon. Balaam said to Balak, "Build 7 altars here and prepare 7 bulls and 7 rams for me." Balak did what Balaam told him, and he offered a bull and a ram on each altar. Luke chapter 18. Jesus used this illustration with his disciples to show them that they need to pray all the time and never give up. He said, "In a city there was a judge who didn't fear God or respect people. In that city there was also a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice.' For a while the judge refused to do anything, but then he thought, 'This widow really annoys me. Although I don't fear God or respect people, I'll have to give her justice. Otherwise, she'll keep coming to me until she wears me out.'" The Lord added, "Pay attention to what the dishonest judge thought. Won't God give his chosen people justice when they cry out to him for help day and night? Is he slow to help them? I can guarantee that he will give them justice quickly. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Jesus also used this illustration with some who were sure that God approved of them while they looked down on everyone else. He said, "Two men went into the temple courtyard to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not a robber or a dishonest person. I haven't committed adultery. I'm not even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my entire income.' But the tax collector was standing at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. Instead, he became very upset, and he said, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I can guarantee that this tax collector went home with God's approval, but the Pharisee didn't. Everyone who honors himself will be humbled, but the person who humbles himself will be honored." Some people brought infants to Jesus to have him hold them. When the disciples saw this, they told the people not to do that. But Jesus called the infants to him and said, "Don't stop the children from coming to me. Children like these are part of the kingdom of God. I can guarantee this truth. Whoever doesn't receive the kingdom of God as a little child receives it will never enter it." An official asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God. You know the commandments: never commit adultery, never murder, never steal, never give false testimony, honor your father and your mother." The official replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was a boy." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still need one thing. Sell everything you have, distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then follow me." When the official heard this, he became sad because he was very rich. Jesus watched him and said, "How hard it is for rich people to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard him asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus said, "The things that are impossible for people to do are possible for God to do." Then Peter said, "We've left everything to follow you." Jesus said to them, "I can guarantee this truth. Anyone who gave up his home, wife, brothers, parents, or children because of the kingdom of God will certainly receive many times as much in this life and will receive eternal life in the world to come." Jesus took the 12 apostles aside and said to them, "We're going to Jerusalem. Everything that the prophets wrote about the Son of Man will come true. He will be handed over to foreigners. They will make fun of him, insult him, spit on him, whip him, and kill him. But on the third day, he will come back to life." But they didn't understand any of this. What he said was a mystery to them, and they didn't know what he meant. As Jesus came near Jericho, a blind man was sitting and begging by the road. When he heard the crowd going by, he tried to find out what was happening. The people told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Then the blind man shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The people at the front of the crowd told the blind man to be quiet, but he shouted even louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered them to bring the man to him. When the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said, "Lord, I want to see again." Jesus told him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he could see again. He followed Jesus and praised God. All the people saw this, and they too praised God. Psalms chapter 33. Joyfully sing to the Lord, you righteous people. Praising the Lord is proper for decent people. Give thanks with a lyre to the Lord. Make music for him on a 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song to him. Play beautifully and joyfully on stringed instruments. The word of the Lord is correct, and everything he does is trustworthy. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. His mercy fills the earth. The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the water in the sea like a dam, and puts the oceans in his storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all who live in the world stand in awe of him. He spoke, and it came into being. He gave the order, and there it stood. The Lord blocks the plans of the nations. He frustrates the schemes of the people of the world. The Lord's plan stands firm forever. His thoughts stand firm in every generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed are the people He has chosen as His own. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all of Adam's descendants. From the place where He sits enthroned, He looks down upon all who live on earth. The one who formed their hearts understands everything they do. No king achieves a victory with a large army. No warrior rescues himself by his own great strength. Horses are not a guarantee for victory. Their great strength cannot help someone escape. The Lord's eyes are on those who fear Him, on those who wait with hope for His mercy to rescue their souls from death and keep them alive during a famine. We wait for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts find joy. In His holy name we trust. Let Your mercy rest on us, O Lord, since we wait with hope for You. May God bless the reading of His Word. So Balaam has twice told Balak that he will not curse the people of Israel. What do you suppose will happen in the next chapter? And in Luke, imagine how the Pharisees liked hearing the story that Jesus told about the praying Pharisee and the praying tax collector, who, when God heard their prayers, the prayer of the tax collector was more pleasing to God. And I love the mental picture of Jesus enjoying time with little children like we heard about in our reading of Luke today. I imagine Jesus laughing with them and looking at them with soft, kind eyes of love. I've always enjoyed reading about that. The 33rd Psalm is always a favorite of musicians and music lovers as it opens with a call to praise God with instruments and voices, even if you have no talent. Where do I get that idea? Well, it says, praise the Lord with harps. Well, I can't do that because I don't know how to play a harp. And then it says, use harps with 10 strings to make music for Him. Well, I can't play really any instrument. Then it says, sing a new song. Well, I can sing, but not so that very many people enjoy my singing. And then it says, shout. Well, hey, I can do that. Pretty much anybody can shout. When was the last time you shouted your praises to God? May I suggest that you find a time to do that today? I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for being with me today. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.